it seems that today was the day to call in sick. It's the business news headlines for Thursday, the 24th day of August. Thanks for being with us. In other news, so what in the world is going on in Jackson Hole, Wyoming? We'll share. Unemployment applications fell yet again as the job market continues to be strong. Like it or hate it, it is today 20 years old. She quit a six-figure salary because she didn't want to go back into the office full-time. We've got the Wall Street Report. And is the minimum wage relevant? It's an honest question. Let's go.
Insight on Business News and Comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Taro International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent. Focusandfind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Peace, and welcome to this, the Thursday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Grateful that you're with us again today. Want to reach us on social media? You can find us on Twitter, or now X, at IOB_NewsHour. And on Threads, it's Insight on Business. Well, if you happen to call in sick on Thursday, you're in good company, or so it would seem. That's because August 24 is the sickest day of the year. That according to a study by medical leave specialist Flamingo. Over the past 5 years, about 0.9% of workers were absent due to illness or purported illness on this date, with, by the way, February 13 ranking as the second sickest day of the year. Might it be a stomach bug or a resurgence of COVID? Nope, it's kind of historic. We might better blame it all on summer coming to an end or maybe an early Labor Day day off. So did you call in today? Come on, did you? All eyes are on Jackson Hole, Wyoming, as the Federal Reserve prepares to hold its annual economic conference on Friday and Saturday. And what can we expect? Well, we really don't know. The Federal Reserve has jacked up their key interest rate to a 22-year high to try to slow growth and bring inflation down to their 2% target. Consumer inflation, which peaked last year at 9.1%, is now at 3.2%. The Associated Press is reporting that even as they cool the economy, the Fed's policymakers hope to avoid tripping it into a recession, a notoriously difficult achievement that economists call a soft landing. In Jackson Hole, signs that the economy is stabilizing have begun to emerge. Supply chains have normalized for some retailers, reducing pricing pressures. Hotel occupancy rates have come off the boil of the pandemic years. Room rates have eased in response. Real estate agents are advertising some reduced home prices, although by national standards, they remain astronomical. The Fed's conference will occur against a backdrop of growing optimism for the U.S. economy. Nationally, unemployment is near a half-century low, despite sharply higher borrowing costs caused by the Fed's interest rates. Consumers have continued to increase their spending. What's going to go on? We shall see. We shall see very soon what the decision might be for September and how that might impact us all. Well, because all eyes are on Jackson Hole and the Fed, stocks slipped big time today, and investors fear another rate hike coming in September. Those numbers from today coming at you in just a bit. Well, it happened again. Applications for jobless benefits fell, and the hot job market remains on high. The AP is reporting that the Labor Department said the number of Americans applying for jobless benefits fell last week by 10,000 to 230,000 for the week that ended on August 19. Part of the Fed's reasoning to hike the rates 11 times so far was to cool the job market and bring down wages, which many economists believe suppresses price growth. Though inflation has come down significantly during that stretch, the job market has held up better than many anticipated. Early this month, the government reported that U.S. employers added 187,000 jobs in July. That's fewer than expected, but still a reflection of a healthy labor market. The unemployment rate dipped to 3.5%, close to a half-century low. Job openings in June fell a tick below 9.6 million. That's the fewest in more than 2 years. However, the numbers remain unusually robust, considering that monthly job openings never topped 8 million before 2021. Besides some layoffs in the technology sector, early this year, companies have been mostly trying to retain workers. Yeah, the job market is truly a head-scratcher for economists. All right, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't go to Starbucks. So there, I've said it. My dollars go to local family-owned coffee shops, so that means that I've never had a Starbucks pumpkin spice latte. Never. However, I am here to share with you that the drink you either love or hate is back this week, and it's now 20 years old. And it seems to be really popular. The Associated Press is reporting that it's the coffee giant's most popular seasonal beverage, with hundreds of millions sold since its launch back in 2003. And it's produced a huge and growing industry of imitators flecked with cinnamon, nutmeg, and clove. In the past year alone, U.S. sales of pumpkin-flavored products approached $802 million. Some popularity, and that's according to Nielsen. And that is up 42% from the same period in 2019. There are pumpkin spice Oreos, protein drinks, craft beers, cereals, and even, yeah, pumpkin-spiced Spam. A search of pumpkin spice on Walmart's website brings up more than 1,000 products, 1,000 products that smell or taste like, well, pumpkin pie. Me? I'll pass. So how desperate are workers to remain working from home, even if only a couple of days a week? Well, we could ask 53-year-old Felicia, who quit her six-figure job because her employer wanted her in the office 5 days a week. Business Insider is reporting that as firms tighten their belts, the era of fully remote work may be ending. The Bureau of Labor Statistics recently said it found nearly 73% of companies offered little to no telework as of September of 2022. It's a big leap from 60% back in 2021. Major companies, including those that have done layoffs, are mandating that workers come back in. For some workers, the choice has been between coming back or getting fired. But in Felicia's case, she is seeing herself out of that job. For a year and a half, her office had been a hybrid model, 3 days at home, 2 days in the office, and she described it as the perfect work-life balance. Now? Well, now she's willing to find a gig that may pay less but has more flexibility. She realized while sitting in traffic one day that it was time to go. She said, quote, "Just sitting there and thinking, oh my goodness, that feeling that I have a meeting coming up yet I'm stuck in this. And it's like, why am I doing this to myself when it's not even necessary?" End quote. Meanwhile, experts say return-to-office orders come from elite, often male CEOs who prioritize work over work-life balance. So, how about you? Thoughts? Hit us up on Twitter, now X, at @IOB_NewsHour, or on Threads, at Insight on Business. Tell us, would you give up a six-figure salary to be able to work at least part-time from home? U.S. stocks closed way down on Thursday, with the Dow off by 373 points to close at 34,099. Earlier in the day, the blue chips were ahead of the game, and then the sell-off, fueled by rate hike fears, started and continued all day long. The NASDAQ shed 257 points to close at 13,463, and the S&P 500 fell by 59 points to 4376. West Texas Intermediate crude, that declined by 3 cents to $78.86 a barrel. And finally, there is this, and this is about whether the minimum wage is relevant. It's an honest question. All but forgotten in the tightest labor market the U.S. has seen for decades is the issue of what the federal minimum wage should be. Employers have been bidding up pay to attract hourly workers, in some cases, to more than double the current minimum of $7.25. In fact, a New York Times analysis of government data finds that fewer than one in every 1,000 hourly workers earned only the minimum wage during the first 7 months of this year. The question, writes the Times, is what happens when the market loosens and companies are no longer scrambling for staff? And so you know, the federal minimum wage hasn't budged since 2009 and is worth less in inflation-adjusted terms than at any time since 1949. And this broadcast, we come to you from Iowa, where, yes, the minimum wage here is $7.25 an hour. Well, that's a wrap for the business news headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Champ Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.